welcome to the Fertility Conversations podcast. The goal of this podcast is to create more awareness about infertility and to provide support to people trying to conceive. Thank you for listening today, and we hope you will be encouraged. And now, here is your host, Ola.
Welcome to episode 9. Today, I'm joined by an amazing guest, Shay. She's the founder of the support group PCOS Conquerors. She's a fellow infertility warrior and resides here in Nigeria. She'll be speaking with us today about her experience with infertility and PCOS. You can follow Shay on Instagram at PCOS Conquerors. Her details would also be in the episode summary. So I'm not a doctor, neither is Shay, but we'll be speaking today based on her experience and also personal research. So welcome, Shay, and thank you for joining us today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Hey. So to start off, please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, my name's Shay. I didn't know that question always wears me out because I'm like, oh, where do I start? There's so many sides to me. But I mean, in a nutshell, I like to think of myself as light. So if there's anything big as that, so, you know, I'm a light person in terms of, you know, my personality, in terms of things I enjoy, things that make me like happy and, you know, smile. I'm married, kids pending. Yeah. I've been married for like 5 years and, what else? So I'm an entrepreneur, so I'm a serial entrepreneur. Apart from PCOS Conquerors, I run a fashion or a couture accessory brand, and then I also work for a bank as a brand manager. So, I mean, there are different sides to me. I'm also a writer. That's why sometimes it's like this question, I'm like, which one do I present? So, yeah, so in a nutshell, I'm a multifaceted person, you know, with different interests and likes and different areas I like to express myself. So I'm very creative. I love to use my hands, you know. Anything that gives expression to creativity, you'd find me there.
Wow, that's wonderful. Me. Sounds like a whole lot of exciting things.
I try not to overwhelm people, but I get it that sometimes people are so like, babies, what are you doing now? I'm like, oh, don't worry.
Yeah.
It'll all make sense in the future.
In the future. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
So, of course, as you know, today we're speaking about PCOS. Funny enough, actually, when I first saw that, I mean, back in the days, not now I know better, but before I used to think it was PCOS, but, you know, in terms of actually how it's pronounced. Is it PCOS or PCOS? PCOS? Oh, okay.
I say PCOS, but I noticed, like, especially people living in England, they say PCOS a lot more. But then when I say PCOS to them, they find themselves wanting to correct themselves. And I'm like, oh, no, I mean, it's just how I see it. I see it as a letter. I just don't see it as one word.
But yeah. Right. Okay. Okay, so PCOS. Good. So today we're speaking about PCOS and its impact on fertility. So what is PCOS for someone that might be listening and not actually know what it is?
So I think in the simplest terms, it's a hormonal disorder. So basically, it's something that is not caused. Nothing you can do or say can have an effect on it. It's just, it's your hormones just being out of sorts or out of whack in a sense. So because your hormones are in disarray, that means that a lot of women are experiencing imbalances. So they're having one hormone producing more than the other, and what it then affects other things. So in itself, it's not really like a detrimental disease, but it's what the problems that it causes because your hormones are, you know, in disarray. So that's PCOS in itself. You know, they would say, I think the best way, it's almost like if you look at sickle cell, whereas it's a blood thing. So so that's just the simplest way to think about it. It's a disorder that happens without any cause that is known medically speaking. Yeah.
Right. And how was that diagnosed? Was it easy for you to figure that out, or were there any signs?
So I would say no. It's not very easy to diagnose because it can mask as so many things. If some women have had this, hormonal disorders or imbalanced hormones, but it might just be as a result of maybe their stress or something might cause that to happen, but it might not necessarily be PCOS. So initially when you go to the doctors, they might just say, oh, your hormones are imbalanced, maybe change a few things and it'll be back. Right. But it might take years until they're able to pick out one or two things. So from an ultrasound, that is one way to know that, okay, when they look at your ovaries and they see multiple cysts on right. it, that's one way they would say, oh, okay, you have a polycystic ovary. So, you know, little, you know, so it's like you have one clear ovary, good. Can't see my hands. So one clear ovary, good. And then the other ovary, or sometimes both, just have little cysts growing around it. But not everyone with PCOS has that, because sometimes you wouldn't have that, but then you could experience hair growth on your face, you could experience irregular periods, you could also experience infertility, and then, I mean, even hair loss. So there's so many other symptoms, but usually the easiest way to detect it is from doing ultrasound. So that's the easiest, yeah. But sometimes it takes a long time sometimes to identify it early.
Okay. And does diet or lifestyle have any impact on PCOS?
What I remember from your previous question, you were asking if there are early signs.
Right.
I said one of the early signs was not seeing my period, which I experienced when I was 18.
Right.
But unfortunately, the first doctor I had that conversation with kind of made me not even want to go to the hospital, because she was just assuming things like, oh, maybe I was pregnant, but then I wasn't because I wasn't sexually active. So you imagine a young child going through that experience.
Yeah.
My period then comes the following day, and I'm like, okay, like, I don't need the doctor. Maybe it's just a normal thing. And after that, let's just say years after that, I kept seeing, like, it wouldn't come once a year. So, and I
right.
thought it was normal. So for me, it was just like, okay, it's whatever it is. And when you're younger, your metabolism is faster. So apparently what was happening throughout all those periods, because I wasn't aware that this might be potentially polycystic ovarian syndrome, I still kept eating certain things. So like, sugars are not good for you because it can build up to insulin resistance, which can then cause other problems. And yeah, so there are a lot, it can cause a whole lot of problems, but I'll say one of the major ones is building of fat. So I'm eating all sorts of things. I'm not aware that it's having this effect on my body until maybe when I turned 25, when I noticed I stopped burning. So instead of, finding it easy to lose weight like I used to, the weight keeps packing on. And then it's like, it now becomes this cycle, as, you know, the symptoms get worse because of your weight gain, and you gain weight because of the symptoms. So it's like it's a vicious cycle, basically. And and it takes a whole lot to break out of that cycle to get back into the thing. But one of the things I've noticed is when you do gain control of your eating and obviously your lifestyle, exercise, you start seeing less of those symptoms. Yeah.
Right.
So like if you have more fat or sugar in your body, it can cause the male hormone in the body to be more dominant. So, you know, obviously the male hormone is more dominant. It will affect certain aspects that causes you to produce or menstruate, which most women would say they are irregular periods. So if doctors are not using like birth control pills, they would usually just tell you, work on your diet, lose some weight, like at least 5%, so that it can rebalance. So it's all about getting the hormones back. But then if male hormones are in dominance, you find you're having hormonal acne, you're having, what else, like facial hair. So you just notice a lot more. So yeah, So yes, definitely diet does play a factor in the symptoms. Like I said, it's a disorder. So it's just like whatever your lifestyle is, might either is it propel it or dissuade the disorder. Yeah.
I see. And from what you've mentioned, it seems that there are ways to treat it. Is there any cure?
No. For medically speaking, there isn't any cure. So what people always say is you can manage the symptoms. And that's why I use sickle cell, because that's just the best way that I can explain. That's just the best way I can explain how it's not something to be like, oh my God, if you've had it, it's a death sentence. There are people that live and they're able to overcome. So the best thing they would say is focus on whatever symptom you want to see less of. So if it's the acne, you might just need to go on, you know, there are treatments for acne, but then internally, the nutrition part plays a good one. You know, if it's giving birth, then there are certain things. Another one they've mentioned, but it's very few people do, is hormonal drilling. So that's more for the people that have the polycystic, the cysts, the multiple cysts on their ovary. Okay. So they can drill the ovary and drain it out. But then again, it doesn't mean it can't redevelop if you've not made certain changes to your lifestyle. So, yeah.
Okay. And how has this impacted your fertility, PCOS?
Okay. So the thing with PCOS, like I said, if the male hormones is dominating and you're not ovulating, so most of the time we're pretty much not ovulating. Like for me, I haven't seen my period since November last year, so sometimes it's just like, okay, where are you? That kind of thing.
Right.
It can be so basically it's literally what it is. You're not ovulating, so there's no egg. And sometimes even if there is, you get to ovulate and you do have eggs, they may not fully develop because there's just so many things kind of working against it within the body that's causing that process not to align, you know. So that's just the simple way it affects. Although there, what I've learned is when you're younger, it's a lot easier for women because sometimes those symptoms really come, they don't really mature until maybe much later. And you're on the slimmer side, you know, it might be easier for you with PCOS to get pregnant. But I would say it's a gamble, really. You're not really sure. So what I know doctors do is that once they're aware that you want to, and that's just the general disposition of medical school of thought. So once you're ready to work and like get pregnant, you'll then put you on set of supplements and maybe tell you to do certain things so that you can have that pregnancy. But again, it's like, so as long as there's no other complications, because PCOS, like your tubes are opened, everything, it's just the eggs not developing to this, to that point of maturity where it can be fertilized. So the doctors would work with, so that's why they would say, okay, work with the fertility doctor so that you can get your body to that place. But then I also know people that just work out, change their lifestyle, and then after a while they get pregnant. So it's just a lot harder than, you know, women that do not have to deal with the syndrome to get pregnant.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for that. And I see you're pretty, really active on Instagram and actually show your face, have a lot of videos. In a culture like ours, where people try to shy away from discussing this issue, I find that I'm very impressed. That I was actually very impressed that you were, you know, you just put it all out there. Just this is what it is, and so what made you do that?
So I guess for me, it's funny because, like my mom, even my mom has to, she asked me what I like, why are you doing this? like, her conclusion was like, you're acting like not a European or someone that is not African. I was like, yeah, you sent me a book.
Yeah, you shouldn't have sent me to study overseas. Yeah.
You understand? I was like, I literally became a woman, you know, away from culture. So there'll be things I'll go against. But I think for me, it was just more or less, funny enough, it was July last year that I decided I was just in a place in the morning, I was just feeling frustrated because there's the case with PCOS where it's even the absence of period that it's even worrying. And mm-hmm. I think for me, what had been more of my own story had been more of the weight gain, because there's the aspect of medically speaking, yes, you can give birth and all that other parts, but then there's also your self-esteem that does get affected by it. I mean, imagine having to pluck hair from your chin, you know, imagine the extra weight, and then, you know, you've come to know yourself in a certain way, and then it's like your body's changed, and then it's harder. So dealing with that mental shift of even accepting yourself, and I, for one, had that, like, in a sense of I struggled with my weight gain, and I struggled with how I saw myself, and, you know, and just also getting to a place. So I think that for me kind of took a bit more on my mind, because I was like, okay, I really want to calm down. So even when, let's say, I'd seen all the symptoms and I was gaining weight after 25, because I'm 32 now, I was gaining weight. And I thought to myself, like, okay, I just need to lose the weight and this. But then not losing the weight and then getting into marriage, it was still like my focus that I wanted to calm down. So I'd go to the hospital and they hadn't like officially called PCOS, but it wasn't until 2015 when I went to do a test. Oh yeah, I started bleeding. So that was really what was it. So I started bleeding. So I would have irregular periods, but then there was just one season where I bled straight for 6 months. I bled straight. And I was like, I don't understand what's going on with my body. You know, the ordeal of having to, you know, go out and then find yourself stained and, you know, that kind of thing. So I had seasons of that, and I didn't find out what was causing. Because even when I was still in England, I was in America at the time before bleeding things started. I was living there. You know, I went to the hospital. They said you were fine. They also said no PCOS. I went to England as well. Same thing, no PCOS. You don't know what's going on with my body. So basically, I went for 3 years not knowing why I was bleeding until like maybe 2018, which I did a transvaginal scan and they were like, oh, okay. So see, I think the year of 2018, a doctor had finally called it out that I had PCOS, but he said he doesn't think PCOS is what's causing me to bleed. So it was just like, okay, so what exactly? Because if I'm bleeding, one, that means I'm obviously not ovulating, that means I can't even get pregnant in that situation, right? You know, so he was kind of fascinated with the fact that, oh, the way my ovaries are forming is or the shape is a classic example of PCOS. And I was like, why are you smiling? This is something to smile about, you know. But I think for me, even hearing PCOS, it didn't hit me like, oh my god, it's PCOS. I never, maybe because the bleeding was something that I felt was more of a big thing, like, what is that? So it wasn't until like, I think August 2018, I did a transvaginal scan and they discovered that, okay, there's PCOS, but then there's also a polyp. And I was like, okay, what is a polyp? And what the doctor explained to me is because your hormones are imbalanced as a result of PCOS, it is now making like weeds grow. So whereas, because I'm very fertile, because they would look at my ovaries and they said, your reproductive system is in perfect condition, but the PCOS you get. So because of that imbalance, it's causing things to grow. So, and even at that, that's what's irritating your uterus and everything. So you would have to have an operation to take it out. So I was like, okay, fine. That was like almost $500,000. I took it out that November. So I took it out in November because after hearing that, I was like, okay, maybe I'm not ready now. Just be wearing pads until whatever. So I took it out in November, and then, you know, just the freedom of, you know, happiness of not feeling afraid to go out, or I can wear things, because I've had experiences where I'm standing and next day I just said,
oh, wow.
Like, what? Yeah, so sometimes it can be quite heavy. So I did that, took it out, you know, I was happy, but then it grew back within a month.
Oh, wow.
So I just didn't understand. I started bleeding again, went to meet the doctor. He was like, oh, this time it's back, but it's bigger, and it's multiple, so it's a lot. So, and it's bigger, and in the space where a baby should be. So this time it was like, oh, before it was just on the outer wall, but now it's like, yeah, so that place where a baby grows, it's gone there, you know. So there was that, and I just didn't want to deal. So with the PCOS, so with everything, I just put it on one side, and I was living my life. And this is 2019. So it wasn't until like that July last year that I woke up and I felt a bit frustrated, because I was like, you know, I'm not losing weight. It's harder than what I was, you know, I'm thinking. I've tried everything. I've done all the I guess, I don't know what to call some names, but all these online coaches. I wasn't quite finding, you know, the support that I needed, you know, right. And no one really understood. It was just like, do this exercise. And apparently I also found out certain exercises are not good, so which we can talk about later. So yeah. I just sat down that morning and I was like, you know what, I was praying, but then I heard that scripture that, you know, we're more than conquerors. And that's when I decided that, you know what, I feel like there's just so much silence in my life, and I'm just going to speak about it. And let's just see where it goes from there. Who knows? And it's weird when you decide to actually talk about, I guess, your pain or what you're going through. So many people connect with that.
Yeah.
And maybe because of the kind of person I am, I'm not really you shouldn't talk about this thing. Me, I would want to talk about it. I'm that person.
Yeah.
I want to address the elephant in the room, because I feel like that's the only way healing will happen. So, you know, so once I spoke to my husband about it, definitely. And once he was like convinced that I was convinced, go ahead. You know, I would say he was comfortable with it. He wasn't comfortable. But I think when he started seeing more people start reaching out to me, you know, I there was a day he was listening, and someone called me, she was crying, and literally I was like, wow, you know. And I prayed with her, and even him too, he was like, wow, so there's so many people in pain. So that's when I decided that, you know, it's definitely something I want to raise awareness for. I want to find out more about. And you know, when you go online, you then find out there's so many people.
Yeah.
That's how I even found out that they even have like an awareness month in October. I think it's September.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm like, wow. So there's a lot of information. The long story.
And that's how PCOS Conquerors came to be.
So, yeah, basically that's how it was born, you know, July last year.
And how has that been received?
It's been good, actually. I'm even surprised, to be honest. Because
yeah.
I remember talking to one of my coaches that, oh, this is what I'm doing. Cause part of the things, like I said, I have so many things. So sometimes I'm like, okay, this is kind of fulfilling an aspect of my life where it's like, okay, I'm doing some selfish service. So yes, there's me, but then instead of focusing on my pain, you know, what beauty can be found from ashes. So for me, that it felt so much like ministry. So I poured, and so I was just doing it like, okay, I'll find any information, I'll put it on there. But it's just grown immensely since then. Like on WhatsApp, we have like 200 women that are connected. And we have a couple of women that are, you know, that actually, they changed their diet, everything. And even just the support, they've gotten pregnant. I had one lady in particular that she was even the one that called me, and she was crying. She was frustrated. She hadn't seen her period. And she was a bit afraid. So I just prayed with her, and I told her, why don't, you know, exercise and do certain things. And her period came. And later on in the year, she actually got pregnant. So I think she's due to give birth around this month. Yeah, or has she given birth? I used to check. But so we've had women that have come and have gotten pregnant, you know, and then obviously there are some other women still on the journey of rediscovering and changing, because changing your lifestyle isn't easy.
No.
It takes a whole lot, you know.
No.
And we've been made to crave, like I like to say, you know, when we were younger, you know, when the child is born, it's like, okay, the first thing you give them is breast milk, and maybe if a child is crying, it's food. So there's a way we've almost been conditioned to use food as a sort of comforter.
Yes.
And then certain foods we've been using haven't been the best kinds of food. So it's like stopping it and changing, like finding out that dairy, for example, isn't one of the best things for, you know, women with PCOS, that it's better to go with like plant-based, you know, food. So it's a shift and it's a slow process, but then I'm seeing more and more people, even in my own life too, you know, there's still certain things I struggle with to give up. I'm just like, okay, I need to be patient and then just let it, like, you know, let it go. So I'm that the community forward, and, you know, I've been connecting with so many people through this. I mean, from there, I connect with you. So
yeah.
You know, that, yeah. Yeah. So it's amazing. That's what I can say about it.
That's wonderful. And like you said, you know, it's true. We've been conditioned to love the bad things, right? I mean, there's a time when dairy was, everyone was told you had to drink milk. Like that was like, it was such a push for it. And then we all started drinking it. And now it's like, maybe not. You know, it's, you just never know.
Sometimes you can be like, which one?
I know, like, yeah, which is it?
Yeah, which is it? Like, there's that feeling where you just feel like, is there anything I can eat?
No, plants. Like, literally right now, it's just vegetables. And I'm like, yeah, what else? Yeah.
And then the funny thing is, the more you actually, because I don't think initially when I started taking almond milk, I'm not sure if I really liked it. But now I'm like, yeah, I love my almond milk.
Really?
I really love almond milk now. Like coconut milk and almond milk. I don't do soy because I know soy isn't, there's a bit of anything that triggers hormones, I try and stay away from. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I love chicken, but then at the same time, we don't grow these things. So it's like, you don't know if they've injected hormones. And
really?
Just thinking about it. Yeah, true enough. Because thinking about it, like I said, the whole science that I had PCOS started when I was like 18, but I was still like trim, I was still small. Even when I gained weight, it wasn't, you know, a lot. But when I moved to America, and with America, I know there's a lot of contention with their food. That's
right.
When I felt like the symptoms worsened. That's when I started having the bleeding disorder, you know, and everything like that. So, and, you know, I was living in San Francisco, so it's like, yes, they're the organic ones, but they're expensive. But when you're young, you're just like, yeah, I'm having the best time of my life, not knowing, you know, all the issues that it was having in my body. And yeah, so.
Oh, wow, that's really interesting. Exciting. Yeah. And with the chicken, because I love chicken. And now that you're saying it, I'm like, wow, maybe I'm not eating like regular, maybe it's not regular chicken. Maybe there's something else in there. Wow.
Yeah, because you don't know. So the thing is, you can't really eliminate everything. At the start, so it's like maybe just have chicken like twice a week, or you know, just balancing it out more. I try and have more fish because fish is rich in omega-3,
right?
You know, but catfish is not that great for you. So there are lots of things. So there are lots of things that I guess when we start examining, my rule of thumb is: does it disrupt hormones? Is it, how natural is it?
Right.
You know, and how can we, you know, I just implement. So like even with rice as well, moving to more things that promote like gut health. Because another thing is gut health has to be on point. Because with insulin resistance, the best way to describe it is like, with insulin resistance, it's like your body is hoarding the sugar and then it's storing it, converting into fat and storing in random places. So there's a risk of even developing fatty liver, you know, and there's a lot of things, but you just have to be positive and just make those changes and everything. And I also spoke about even exercising can be, I found that low impact exercises were actually the best. So whereas when I started trying to lose weight, I was going hard, I was doing like those step climber thing, I was running on treadmill, everything. So hard cardio, but my body was just feeling it as stress. and stress.
I see, right,
PCOS
okay.
did not go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. So because my body is thinking, you're under duress, you're under stress, it's hoarding, you know.
Oh, okay. So more walking.
So more of walking, swimming's good, and dancing. Weight, especially Grace, because not every sister, or like they say, or every woman with PCOS is overweight. Some are underweight. So that, and the slim ones are always like, it's always like a conundrum, because you're like, wow, like you're actually slim, but you're still having hormonal issues. But then it could be other factors in their life, like you're not sleeping properly, they're stressed. You know, even having no like muscle mass, like women as we grow older, we lose muscle mass. So exercising does, like building lean muscles actually helps as well convert the fat, because we don't, we talk about weight loss in this part of the world, but not fat loss. So fat is actually what we should be working towards getting, like reducing our body, the percentage fat in our body. I feel like I'm going everywhere, but yeah.
No, it's okay. It's lots of very helpful information we need to know.
Yeah, because my mind is like, oh, talk about that. So the best way to describe, I guess, a woman leaving PCOS is actively doing something. It's just a woman deciding to partner with her body to find out what works, and, you know, obviously get rid of things that are, you know, toxin field and just causing any kind of imbalance. And it's not just food wise, it's also, it's mainly your lifestyle. Then obviously there are the parts that doctors have to play, because and that is if you don't have any other complications, you know, because even at the end of the day, my doctor would still say, okay, we've taken out the polyp because we had the second operation, or I had the second operation, but it was, and thankfully it's not grown back. But he was like, okay, make sure you come down, make sure you change. So the thing is, they just thought you lose weight. So technically, you're meant to find out what to do. But I was having a conversation with another lady about this whole support system. And I was like, just like how alcoholics have kind of like the Alcoholic Anonymous or something, it would be good if we can get more organizations like yourself, and, you know, DCS Conquerors, partnered with hospitals, so that when people get diagnosed, fine, you tell them this is what they need to do, but then you can give them a leaflet with all the support.
That'd be perfect. Yes.
It would actually be perfect. That is one thing I've never even started my mind into.
That is a great idea.
But that's one thing that would go a long way. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many women that are, I can talk about it, but I was on a call where another woman said, her family members don't even know she has PCOS. It's just her and her mom, because it's like shame on them. And she's not even, she's Emirati. So it's like, and I'm like, wow. I think the thing is, the more people that are coming up to talk about this, then, you know, it's not a bad thing. Stigma on women's reproductive health. I don't know why it's even a stigma.
I don't. It's crazy. And sometimes the people even, like the people that keep the stigma going on are women as well, which is so strange, you know. It's interesting. But like you said, it'd be so amazing. People can know more about the support that's available, letting the doctors know that, just like you said, just a leaflet, just a flyer, just let them know you can contact these people, you can email someone, you can talk to someone. That alone can go a long way in helping change things around. That's wonderful.
Definitely. Yeah, and also educating young girls.
So
we don't have period education for kids. I remember as early as before I started menstruating, this was, funny enough, I remember the day I started menstruating.
Really? Wow.
4th of August. It's 4th of August. I turned 12 that year, and I was just like, and I don't know why I remember it so well, but I think it's because some people in school, I just started secondary school, so some people in school had had their periods, and it was scary. I was hearing all sorts of rumors, like they say, okay, if you start your period and a guy touches you,
you get pregnant, right?
Yeah. then there was another one, like one of my friends, he literally, I don't know if it's corrected, and it's possible that it could be some other disorder. She used to bleed for 14 days. Oh, and wow. I just thought, what? Can you imagine, 11-year-old, you're bleeding for 14 days. Another one was 12. Her days kept increasing. So every time her period came, it was increasing. But then looking at what I experienced and everything,
yeah,
I don't know if it's PCOS, but it's some kind of hormonal disorder. And that also wasn't addressed. You know, mm-hmm. there was a girl that one day she didn't know her period came and it was heavy and it flowed on the... So I saw all that and I was just like, God, I think my sister's days are 5 days. So 5 days should be the normal days.
Yes.
Give me 5 days. And that was what I kept praying for. So I didn't start my period in school. I started at home. So I was even thankful that, you know, no weird ordeals. And it was pretty much 5 days. Like, it was consistent, you know, until I was 18. And, you know, I guess life and everything happened and growing up. But just thinking back to that period, there was just no one to come and tell us, oh, this is your body. I mean, at best, it's biology class, but
yeah.
We don't really talk about, you know, these things in detail. So, yeah, so there's a whole lot of room. I think I've seen a couple of people kind of start talking about it, but I don't know how in-depth the conversation has been. About
in high schools? In high schools?
Yeah,
in high schools.
Yeah. High schools, even maybe with parents as well.
Exactly, education. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
there's
definitely something.
There's another thing with PCOS that I'm finding out is they say it can also be hereditary. So
somebody
in the family. Yeah, so different environments can be a factor, you know, different people. And sometimes now when I talk to people, I can almost tell when it's PCOS after they give me a couple of symptoms. Like, you know, I met a woman in Ghana earlier, just us talking.
Mm-hmm.
By the time she described, or I described what I was feeling, she said, oh yeah, her daughter has been experiencing XYZ things. And I was like, in my mind, I'm like, yep, it's definitely PCOS. But I also didn't want to like scare her.
Of course.
Just made her like, okay, she might need to go and do a trans. And I said, okay, maybe you need to do a transvaginal scan. And next thing she said, oh, she even feels her youngest daughter too is coming up with the symptoms. So
oh, wow.
So sometimes it can actually be like someone in the family. And then even with me, the more I've been talking to my mom, she's like, you know, explained that maybe at some point she's had a growth that she's had to remove. So I'm like, oh, wow. You know, it would have been great if I knew this.
Yeah.
So I would have made the changes I needed to, like, if they were aware and if they knew, okay, don't let them have the sugar, let them eat healthy, start them, you know, on it healthy early enough so that they're healthy enough. You know, mm-hmm. I would have probably made different. I would probably not have scarfed down those hugging knives, but because God knows I've had my bowls of ice cream, like, and just, oh, I'm bored.
Yeah.
You know, I would probably have made better choices if I was more aware. So, yeah.
Awareness is definitely key. Yes, like you said. So we hope that we can get that happening with people like yourself and more awareness, and hopefully there can be programs to speak with young kids in high school and also their parents, like you said, maybe even in churches and mosques and other religious places.
Yes, especially in churches and mosques or religious places, because I feel there's also that aspect of it. Because even with me, I was like, oh, just getting like surgery mean I'm not believing God, you know. I had a lot of questions about, but I prayed, you know, what does this actually mean? So, I mean, but then at the end of the day, like one of the ladies that was on my platform recently shared, she had the PCOS, she had a baby, but she was still struggling with the symptoms. And with her, she felt like the Holy Spirit or, you know, God was leading her to change her diet.
Mm-hmm.
And she hadn't read about it. She just felt in her spirit like she should take out meat and go plant-based. And she did that. Like, let's say she hadn't seen her period, so she gave us her son. Her son turned 3 last month. Literally, her period, last time she saw her period was 3 years ago. And once she started changing her diet, it came back, like, this year. It was this year and a month ago. So the same June. You know, she was like, oh, God, my period has come. Like, you know, and I asked, okay, what did you do? And she's like, oh, she changed what she was eating. you realize that it was actually not making. So, you know, nutrition and lifestyle goes a long way.
Wonderful. It's definitely time for me to start checking out my food as well, starting with chicken, because chicken I love and I eat way too much. And after this conversation, I'm going to start Googling more and be like, okay, chicken, maybe some replace it with fish. Let's eat something better. Yeah. Wow.
No, it's true. It's true.
Yeah.
I'm also mindful of time because I can go on for a while.
No. It's good. Like, again, I'm sure that many people are going to listen and just be aware that maybe there's something they need to look into more, right? Because we just don't know.
Yeah,
we just eat without thinking. We just think, hey, you know, I'm not eating chocolate, so chicken is fine, right? I mean, they've always told chicken was healthy. So like, hey, I'm going to eat chicken. But then you forget the hormones that are being pumped into them sometimes. And
And even with fruits as well, because, you know, people just say, oh, like, and that's specifically for people that have PCOS, like, there are certain fruits that watermelon, I was shocked that watermelon is like a high, there's this index that measures the sugar, so GI index. And watermelon is really, really high. And
really?
You were like, oh, I want to lose it. Yes, apparently. It's watermelon.
I know, it's supposed to be very good.
But I found out that I'm better off with berries, so strawberries than I think oranges. So it's also, you know, yes, you're eating fruits, but what type of fruit and what quantity? Even honey, because we think, okay, honey is natural, but honey is really sugar, to be honest, liquid sugar.
Wow.
So the same effect, I mean, process. So it can be like, okay, so like now when I eat oats, what I do is I cut fruits inside. So I get my berries and I cut it inside. I mean, I mean, but then again, I like honey, so sometimes I'll put a little, but sometimes I just go, like, blank without. It depends on how hardcore I want to go. But it's just being aware of what you're putting into your body and knowing that, okay, this is not, you know, obviously vegetable oil. For some reason, we cook a lot with vegetable oil.
Yes.
But it's not good for us. So oils like olive oil, avocado, coconut oil, those ones are really, really good. And even that quantity is also important. So
I see.
It's just, so it's just really about being conscious about what we put inside, you know.
See. Thank you for that. We're all going to go Google more and get better, get healthier, eat properly. So how would you say infertility has changed you? I know you've spoken a lot today about different aspects, but I just want to see how do you think it's changed you?
Well, I don't know if it's changed me. And that's why I was saying that I think for me, it was always about like my self-esteem and how I saw myself because of the weight gain that it hadn't. And obviously, there's also a factor of, you know, my husband being, I think we're just both on that same page. So to him, you would rather I am healthy and I'm alive than, you know, I go out and I have kids and I can't keep up with them. So part of the things he would remind me when I'm feeling tired about, you know, like, I can't deal, like, can I just say this, it is like, yeah, you want to be alive for your kids, you're doing it for, and he's calling the name. So in a sense, I never ever taken the identity of like, oh, I'm an infertile woman, like, I don't see that. Maybe that's why I can speak about it, I don't know, but it's just a situation that is happening that I believe that once certain things are corrected,
right,
you know, a baby will come, I mean. But then it's not, I've not seen it like as my identity. So that hasn't, that's why I say it hasn't really affected me, changed me. Yeah, it hasn't changed me. But if anything, it's just made me want to be more present for other people and be, so it's just made me want to be more in terms of my life and what I give, and, you know, and also do the right things for myself as well, so that when children do come, you know, I have the energy and I'm able to even make the right choices for them, you know. So
wonderful,
that answers.
Yes, it does. That's actually it. So would you say faith has played a huge role then so far?
Actually, well, you saying it like that, thinking again, Yes, because if I got married and I gave birth immediately, I wouldn't have had an appreciation of this other aspect, or I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing right now.
Right.
Even though I did stuff because I hadn't had children, but I just don't know if it wasn't in place right now, if this would have been the path I took. So, yeah.
Okay. And knowing what you know now, what will you tell your younger self?
Don't eat the ice cream.
No ice cream? But we need ice cream. We need it.
Oh, well, maybe don't eat it that much. Well, yeah. I think for me, knowing what I know now, yes, definitely in terms of being a bit more active. And I also tell myself that it will be okay, because anxiety, I didn't touch on anxiety, but that is also a big thing. So, it has its own chapter in the PCOS thing. But, whatever I was worrying about, I was like, you'll be fine. Whatever situation you meet, you overcome. And, and then you help people along the way. So I think, so that would really be more of that. Obviously, with my health, I'd be like, okay, you need to get more active. You need to stay on top, eat less of junk food, definitely. Especially with my eating and behavior, because like I said, I was fine until I turned 25 and everything started like,
It was nice when we were young, right? You could eat anything you wanted, nothing changed, I remember confidently telling people, oh, I never gain weight, it's not possible, and then later I'm like, I guess I do.
But there are certain principles in life that I believe that, they're key, so when it comes to health, I think that's one area that I feel like if I had a bit more guidance on, I would have done better. So, I can't go back, but, for the people that are there right now, also give them that guidance to make the right choices.
Great. So creating more awareness.
You want to be 60 and looking fabulous,
Exactly.
I think 60 years, and I'm like, wow. And one thing I love about Europeans is I met a woman, she was in her 80s. You know, she wasn't even European, she was American. I met a woman, she's in her 80s, she's still doing marathon.
Wow.
I'm like,
I know, here they'd be like, what exactly is your problem?
when we're 60, we're like, oh, I'm elder. Somebody
I know.
No, you're not an elder.
Can you get me water from the fridge? I don't want to have to get up, Yes, we need to change that for sure. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Walk more and keep active. Like they say, right? Your body wasn't made to sit down. So let's get up and move.
Exactly. There's so much more your body can do for you. So I'm looking forward to my transformation story.
And your marathon in the 80s. Yay. Cheering you on. So as a wrap up, any words of encouragement or hope for other couples dealing with PCOS or still waiting to conceive?
I would say that they should find joy. I think, when the scripture talks about the joy of the Lord is your strength, that's literally what it is. Because there would be periods when you're feeling down. Like for me, PCOS came from a place where I was feeling really down and I was crying. But in spite of that, I was like, I'm not going to let the devil or the enemy give me pain and not turn it into a story for good. So it's a waiting period, and it's not easy to wait, but greatness comes from waiting. I love the story of the bamboo, whereas when you plant a bamboo tree, it's almost like you don't see anything. Like it can take maybe 5 years, you've not seen anything on the surface, but in a day it can shoot up. That's just really, there's so many lessons in nature and, in God's creations that we can see from. And even though, yes, we were selected, go through this season, just know that the child that is coming is going to be such a mighty, you know, testimony, greatness. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think about the elephants, I'm not saying people like you, but early born children are not special. But some children are extra special. I'm sorry.
Yeah, extra special.
Yeah, but then it's just that, hey, it's greatness. And I think it's just that reminder that you're birthing greatness. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's a partnership at the end of the day. And for men, for women, you married your spouse not because of her birthing potential. You didn't come to meet her and say, oh, hey, baby, how are you? What's your birthing potential?
You know, I know, right?
You know, you liked who you saw. You liked her character, or you liked his character, but maybe because it's women that carry the baby, you liked her character, you liked everything about it, and it was more than that. And, you know, it was a dangerous prayer my husband prayed. He was like, you know, God, if we're not going to raise kids that don't give you glory, then we don't want kids. I'm like,
what?
But I totally understood where he was coming from. Which, I mean, we do want children by God's grace. But,
amen.
I mean, it's just the fact that at the end of the day, it's a partnership. So don't lose sight of each other during this period of waiting. Waiting doesn't last forever. You know, there would definitely be a testimony. So, you know, find joy, hold on to that, and you'll be all right.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. It's been truly an amazing, I've had an amazing time talking to you and just going through so many things that you said, so many aspects, and so many key points that we can all now look into and make changes, make the right changes, and come out better on the healthier side. So thank you so much, Shay, for connecting with us on the show today and for sharing your story. It's been a pleasure having you on. If you do want to connect with Shay, do want to connect with Shay to, you know, ask more about PCOS or be a part of the PCOS Conquerors, and for sure, she's on Instagram, very active at PCOS Conquerors. Like you said, there's a WhatsApp group. Sometimes you also have a meetup. You know, because of the current pandemic, that hasn't happened yet, but they might also have maybe some meetup online on Zoom or something. So do definitely connect with her to find out more and to join a community of women that are there to support you. So thank you so much, Shay. It's been pretty informative. And thank you. Have a great afternoon. We look forward to having you again in the near future.
I look forward to coming back.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Fertility Conversations podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a 5-star rating and subscribe. Follow us on Instagram at Fertility Conversations. If there are any topics you would like to have discussed, please send an email to fertilityconversations@gmail.com. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode. Thank you again for listening. Take care of yourself and do stay hopeful.